Pierre LeBrun, our hockey insider in studio. What's
up? Let's bring our
beaming Brian Hayes.
Feeling very good.
Brian Hayes.
Only four teams left, Pierre, and mine happens to still be in the dance.
By the way, Green Bay Packers.
Thanks
for your response via text message Friday when I was trying to help you during the trivia game.
Which answer?
This guy.
Him versus Jonas. It was a barn burner.
He claims he tried to help me. He goes, my name's Pierre because of Pierre Trudeau.
I was just saying, I got named after Pierre Trudeau. I thought he'd been interesting.
Like,
the response back
at all?
Was not
but that
warm doesn't, and fuzzy.
But the question was, who's on the $5 bill? Like, he got the answer.
Wilfrid Laurier.
Right, but what is your name, Pierre LeBrun?
That's what I'm saying. It didn't help me at all.
No, I was saying after he said Pierre Trudeau, I was like, by the way, FYI.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, that's all.
So you're just chiming in. You weren't really helping.
I was bored at home.
I see.
Who won on Friday?
Oh, it was deadly.
Jonas.
Yeah.
Jonas.
Didn't go well?
Jonas in like triple overtime by default. Like,
really?
I don't even know how he got it right. It was brutal.
How many 20-point players on the Leafs was it?
That was one of them. Neither of them got both. He said like one player.
Three. No, I said three.
And Jonas was off only by one or two, I think.
Yeah.
No, he said four. He's an idiot too.
Anyway, Morgan Riley out for 8 months.
Oh my goodness!
What kind of
brutal?
You know, shockwave does this send through a team?
Well, you know, as I said on SC a few minutes ago, I mean, even when healthy, we were debating. This is an amazing team to watch. Arguably one of the top three offensive teams in the league.
Still need a D when they're healthy.
But that's what I was debating. I said, when healthy, we were debating whether they could figure it out defensively in playoff time. So now they're out their best two defensemen. Now Jake Muzzin will be back at some point after the bye. But as I tweeted today, and I'm not trying to get under the skin of Leaf fans, you now have to actually have the conversations, which I can't believe I'm having, that their playoff chances have been hit a bit here. They got to get through this without Morgan Riley.
Yeah, 8 weeks is a long time, starting January 13th.
For a guy who does it all. You know, if there's a silver lining, is that, as you guys know, he was playing through something all year in a way, separate from this, obviously. So at least that presumably will heal to some degree. But this is a major blow. And, part of what I was trying to get to today on Twitter right away is that, ironically, if it was 3 months that he's supposed to be out instead of 2 months, the Leafs could actually get the Patrick Kane loophole going, where they actually spend Riley's salary before February 24th at the deadline on an impact player, and then Riley comes back in the playoffs and there's no salary cap. But because they're estimating a minimum of 8 weeks, that's mid-March, if he comes back in March, which of course you want him back as soon as possible, when he comes back, you have to be cap compliant immediately.
Right.
Right.
So it doesn't appear right now, unless his rehab doesn't go as well, that they'll even get any kind of salary cap benefit from his long-term absence, which is in many ways a double whammy for the Leafs.
Well, it was just adding insult to injury last night, or the opposite way around, I guess.
Right.
Injury to insult is what the saying should be, because they got insulted by Florida last night, and then the injury comes out the next morning, and Rasmus Sandin coming up, and I'm intrigued by him.
Opportunity, yeah.
Big opportunity. They're number one prospect in the organization. I mean, a real opportunity to see what he's made of. But he's not jumping on a team that's on pace for 75 points and no expectations. And, hey, if he makes a couple of mistakes, so be it.
Right.
You make a mistake in this atmosphere.
That's a good point.
Man, it's going to put some heat and pressure on him, which can be a positive. I mean, maybe this is the best thing possible for him in terms of his development. Throw him right into the fire, and the fire is stoking at this point. But that game last night, man, that didn't help, because that was a big game. You could tell Florida understood it. Florida knew it was a big game.
Circle that, baby.
They circled it. They knew Toronto's the team we got to focus on, and it was not reciprocated. Toronto, it was as if they were playing a Detroit or something.
Yeah,
like, it
didn't
even matter.
I don't know if they didn't respect it. It just seemed like the process. It just seemed like right from the drop of the puck, everyone was out to lunch. I mean, I know Hyman had a nice game and Marner got a couple, but like,
they were stationary, which is the opposite of what you ever think with the Leafs under Sheldon Keefe. That's the slowest I've ever seen them.
Yeah, they didn't look into it.
And O-Dog, I thought you made the point on Twitter. You get to Florida one day early, there should be the guilty first period happening there.
Right,
not
guiltiest
that.
Of first periods.
Yeah.
You can't just go mail it in and look like you're asleep out there. But I told Brian and Jamie earlier, they showed their maturity on last night. It's like, you know what? You got.
I like what I heard.
Huh?
I like what I heard afterwards. I'll say that.
Yeah, why don't we play that clip? Let's hear from John Tavares after the game. Because Tavares was given the opportunity.
That's what you meant, I think. But
like to just flush it, right? To just say, take it, run with it, blow it off, move on. And when Tavares was asked that postgame, here's what he had to say.
I don't think so. I mean, that was pretty disappointing considering, I think, what was at stake today. It's just simply not good enough. We got to be a lot more consistent, and having these games, giving up the chances that we're giving up, is just not going to get us to where we want to get to.
I like that.
Yeah.
He's a guy, I mean, he understands the position he's in. He understands the market he's in. Matthews, Marner, Nylander are in different stages in their career. Not that they wouldn't feel the same way. Marner effectively reiterated that. You know, he said, this wasn't good enough. We got to really snap out of it and wake up here. But there's a lot of pressure on John Tavares. Like, he's got to make it happen here. And I like that he didn't just allow the cliche, yeah, burn the tape, it happens, 1 of 82. It wasn't 1 of 82.
Mm-hmm. No, it was awful.
It was a bad game against an important opponent.
Right.
And we'll see how they respond tomorrow night. Like, tomorrow night against Jersey, that's a game you got to win.
I think they're going to play a hell of a game. It's interesting hearing the leaders speak yesterday. Reminded me of something Sheldon Keefe told me during the holidays when I did that interview. I asked him about benching Nylander and Kapanen in that Detroit game, and he said, you know, it's less interesting to him to be the one talking about accountability with his players and more interesting to him if the players are feeding off each other on accountability. Like, they're recognizing right. themselves, oh boy, I just screwed up here and I better make up. And that, or I guess what I'm saying is, I feel like you heard a bit of that after that game last night.
Yeah.
Because let's be honest, there are a lot of nights after a game like that where you will get a pro, and I'm not criticizing players who do this, who will just say, come on, it happens.
Right.
Yeah.
It is what you hear a lot because, you know, it's 82 games, but you didn't hear that last night.
Well, and if it was a one-off, but people didn't like the game against Edmonton, and that's pretty recent too. And to me, we're seeing really a tale of two teams. Like, they can score. They scored 4 last night, lost, gave up 8. And they can score. They're having a tough time defending consistently. And if Freddie is average or below, that's what you're getting. Mm. And that's, I think, what's concerning for Leaf fans, too.
And this has been lost in the Morgan Rielly news today as a news cycle quickly escalates. But, you know, I tweeted over the Mark Masters quoting Freddie last night. Freddie was saying, guys, you know, I know everyone loves how the team is playing under Sheldon Keefe. How can you not? But if there's one guy that's not benefited from it, it's probably right. Freddie Anderson because it's a high risk, high reward, right?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting you mention that because our buddy Mike Kelly had a tweet earlier this morning where, you know, there was an article written, I believe, in The Athletic about Freddie Anderson and the struggles. And the players were saying that, hey, we can't let Freddie out, hang him out to dry. He's been our backbone, which is true.
Right.
You know, for 3 years. Going now. He has been their backbone. He's been their go-to guy. But he's not played well recently.
No.
And Kelly pointed out that the Leafs are a bottom five team in rush chances, goals, and odd man rushes against in the last month. They're not giving up that much.
Right.
The problem is they're going in.
Right.
Hoffman and Scheifele on Wednesday was the exact same play. Short side, middle of the net. If he's on his game, I think he stops those.
Right.
And then you don't even pay attention.
And then you're not having this conversation.
Then you don't say, what are they doing? What are they doing? Freddie Anderson is not playing well, period. The team is not helping him, right. But let's not pretend like Freddie, oh, what are you going to do with Freddie? Freddie's got to be better, and now there's even more pressure on him. With Rielly out, he's got to be a stud. He has to be.
No question about it. And there's literally no other option either. With all due respect to Michael Hutchinson.
No, he's their guy.
This is how dependent they are on like most teams, by the way. It's not right. Like the Leafs are the only team in this position, but it is.
It's not a tandem.
Well, that's why, I mean, I was heading there. Like, Freddie is a starter. Like, only about 8 or 9 teams have clear-cut starters. The rest have platoon.
Mm-hmm.
So the platoon, you know, Halak, Rask. Rask not going well, run Halak a couple times.
Yeah,
same thing happened in Calgary the other day. You know, Riddick not playing well, Talbot goes 3 in a row. Yeah, no
right.
problem. Now Riddick can get his game in order. Freddie's struggling. Hutchinson can't go on a 3 or 4 game run here.
Right.
He hasn't developed that confidence with the organization. So it's on Freddie to get his game in order and the team to help him out and him to help the team.
And, I mean, we're analyzing, overanalyzing the Tampa Bay Lightning both during their struggles early in the year and now that they've become them who right. they are again. Don't go too deep. the underlying numbers were pretty similar all along, but one thing happened. Andre Vasilevsky woke up.
No kidding.
Like, you know, I mean, he was not very good early on.
Every team that's in, you know what, you look at one position.
Yeah.
The goaltender.
Yeah.
Peter Laviolette got fired because Pekka Rinne kind of was not at the top of his game.
Pete DeBoer in San Jose.
Yeah.
Couldn't get a save all year.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're asking for a lot, but it's the truth. It's the nature of the position.
And listen, I think,
the
NFL. I think if when the Leafs were playing at their best under Sheldon Keefe, which has been the majority of the time since he's been behind the bench, I do think that his system works because basically it's keep away. You're not the 95 doubles, but the fact that you're always pushing and creating offense means you're not spending time in your own zone. That's when they're at their best.
The only thing that worries me with that is when teams figure it out. Joel Quenneville's a Hall of Fame coach.
Mm-hmm.
He would have told that team exactly, and Florida's a really talented team up front. Like, if you actually look and laid them out side by side, the talent is damn close. Because guys like Frank Vetrano had 25 goals.
Well, Nolichari's having
a big
year.
Like, he's having a great season, but like, they've got Mike Hoffman at 35 goals last year, Huberto, Barkov, like, their Trocheck was injured. He's a 30-goal scorer. Like, they have skill up front. And when you get coaching that goes, okay, this is what these guys like to do. We got to limit their time and space. We got to be quick on them. That's where I want to see the Leafs adapt. Because when the Oilers beat the Leafs in here, that's the most motion I've ever seen the Oilers D have. So they almost said, okay, we're going to beat the Leafs at their own game.
Yeah.
Motion and handling the puck. So you have to be able to defend at some point, and that's where I think the Leafs get some trouble. Like, they got puck focus a couple times last night. Johnny did it on SC last night. Like, it's just lost in coverage because they were out to lunch mentally. Mm-hmm. They'll respond against New Jersey. I want to see how they play against Calgary on Thursday, a team that has a lot of offensive flair too.
And not to over dramatize things, it's a long year. You guys have a lot to talk about every week. But because this is the last week for the bye week before a long absence of games for the Leafs, not only did they have to come out of what was a lackluster week last week, their first under Keefe, but it's their first week without Morgan Riley heading into the bye week. And I think they can string together the kind of performances that lets everyone relax.
What do they got
Tuesday? Forget us, for them.
What do they got, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and then done?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's a moment in the season where you say, we've lost our top defenseman, we're coming off a poor defensive week, the doubts are creeping back in, let's shut everyone up.
Yeah.
I think it's a very important week for them.
Well, yeah, it is. It's when you lose three in a row, after you battled yourself back into a pretty comfortable position prior to the Edmonton game, where you started feeling pretty good about where they were going, you know, things can change pretty quickly. And you're right, we could be sitting here next Monday saying, well, they just ran off three in a row again.
Yeah, feeling good.
And now it's all good. And okay, you know, Muzzin will be back maybe after the break or whatever. And all of a sudden, Johnson's back. And now he gets back into kind of the swing of things or whatever. Things can change quickly.
Yeah.
Good stuff, buddy. Thank you for popping in, as always.
Good luck to your Packers.
I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fun. There's Pierre LeBrun, our TSN Hockey Insider.
Dinner.
Yeah, I know. Whenever you're ready on that.
All right.
We'll get to the bottom of it.